Club Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Your hosts for today are Gina McAndrews and Susan Franson. Before we begin, we need to remind you that this is the last week of the KHOI Holiday Gift Fair. In fact, it ends tomorrow, December 17th at 10 p.m. You don't have to register to browse, and clearly a lot of people are waiting until the end to bid. But I have a couple of tips. First, if you just click on the blue square that says Holiday Gift Fair Auction, you will see only the featured items, just a fraction of the total items, and certainly not all of the most interesting ones. So you will have to be sure to click the box that says View All Items. On that page, you can also see some of the items that have competitive bids, like the amethyst necklace from Brazil. I also heard from someone who had visited the mine where the amethyst stones are quarried, so it has a special history. This one has 4 bids, so it's one to watch for. This week is when a lot of last-minute shopping and decorating will be done. Our guests today will be special people who are working to make this a joyful Christmas for people who are having a hard time, either from economic circumstances or from isolation caused by COVID. The first is Carrie McPartland, who will tell us what the Salvation Army is doing this year.
Thank you for having me on. I am Carrie McPartland. I am the site administrator at the Salvation Army of Ames and Story County. And I say that proudly that we serve all of Story County from corner to corner. We have been in Ames since 2012. Prior to that, if a person wanted to have services that we provided, they would have had to drive all the way to Boone for that, because that was the closest office that we had. And so the person in charge over there decided that we really needed to have an office in Ames. We are already serving people with low income and with high needs, and to have them drive from sometimes over in Ziering all the way to Boone just to get financial services didn't make a lot of sense. So we opened this office. We started doing emergency homelessness prevention, which includes rent, utilities, deposit, and mortgage assistance, and then sometimes some hotel, motel stays. And then we started out with a food pantry. And then shortly after that, we brought in a representative payee services. And what those are, it's for people who are on Social Security, but have difficulty managing their finances and need somebody to actually pay their bills for them, give them an allowance to work with, and things to that nature. And then finally, we provide emergency disaster services. So our goal is usually focused on helping the first responders, like the fire departments and the police officers, particularly in sustained disasters like floods, fires, apartment complex fires, things to that nature.
This year must have been super difficult because of COVID and much more demands. Is that right?
I would agree with that statement to a degree that I wasn't certain how we would sustain helping so many people in need. Oddly enough, our food pantry numbers went down, but I think that's because people were taking heed and staying at home. But they've rebounded, and we're serving anywhere from 15 to 25 families a day. And that was pre-COVID numbers. We're a little bit lower than pre-COVID, but we're also giving families a lot more food. So when they come to us, I would say they probably have food for 5 days. Perspective of homelessness prevention, That's the part that's pretty scary to me is that the so many people that are coming to us have lost their jobs because they work in the restaurant business or their service business. You know, they work at a hotel, and because numbers are down in hotels, they don't need that maid or housekeeper person to be there. And so now those people's numbers have decreased, or their hours have decreased. So we have people who are also underemployed, who have their master's degree but can't find work, sometimes doctorates. So it's been very interesting to go through a derecho and a global pandemic at the same time and try to serve as many people as we can.
Well, of course, this time of year, what Salvation Army is best known for are the red kettles. Are you using red kettles as much or at all?
We are. The only thing that we haven't done is put out a couple kettles that we normally would. But otherwise, we have kettles at our Fairways, Hy-Vees, and Walmarts and Sam's Club. It's interesting this year because, of course, people don't carry as much cash. So we do have the ability to do Google Pay and iPay now, and that is right there attached to the kettle sign. Our online donations are a bit up this year. I would say it's been a struggle. We're only about halfway to our goal with a week to go with our red kettles. So we're hoping that people can come out in force and get those kettles filled.
Now, there are other things that are seasonal. I remember the angel tree once. Do you have angel trees out?
We did at the North Walmart and at Sam's Club. And then we have businesses and churches that adopt angels and go purchase for those. Tomorrow actually is the culmination of our toy drive and our food drives and all of that. Tomorrow's our big toy shop. And so that's when the families come out, they pick up. What we've done different is we're pre-packaging everything according to wish lists and need lists. And so that is really the only change that we've made with respect to the toy shop. In years prior, we have the parents come in and just essentially it's just a big open space and we have toys everywhere. And then the parent or the grandparent or guardian gets to pick out whatever gifts their child would want. This year, we're doing it based on a wants and wish list and trying to fulfill those requests to the best of our ability. Yeah, we're prepackaging that, and then we're prepackaging food. So the difference, I think, this year for Christmas is that people are working from home. So companies like Workiva and REG and Alliant Energy and some of those places that we would normally have received large amounts of either or food and toys, they're at home. So they're having to be creative in the ways that they give. And so I was not prepared to not have those donations. So we had to wing it a little bit. But it's worked. Everything will be prepackaged. We already know who's coming, and we already have things organized in a way that essentially the family will drive up and we will put their gifts and their food in their trunk or back seat, and then off they go.
It sounds like it must be very festive.
You know, our goal is truly to make Christmas special for folks when they're not sure where their next meal is coming from, if you can even imagine. I've talked to people on the phone who have been in tears, not really knowing how they're going to have gifts for their kids. And when I talk to those people, I always tell them, you know what, that's my job to worry about. Let me worry about getting gifts for your kids. you look at how to spend those finances that you would have normally spent on Christmas on other ways to make sure that a roof is over your head. And oh, by the way, here's a resource list of all the places in the county that can assist you. And we're not going to worry about toys, though, because we're going to cover that. And that is a relief to families more than you could possibly know.
Most of the rest of the program is about books. We've got Raising Readers, and we've got Reading Radio, and we've got actually an author of a book. So, did you tell me that you included a book in your
We
gift?
do. Our toy shop is probably about five doors down from Raising Readers. And so, what we actually did during our toy drive is almost, I think, without fail, all of the books that we received, we actually put on a cart and took those down to Raising Readers and had essentially donated them to them so they could put their stickers on and then donate them back to us. We think it's important that every child has a book. And so that when we do our gift bags for the families, we always give them a couple of books for each child. So yes, of course, we are thrilled to be a partner with Raising Readers. We also have a little library outside the front of our office, and in warmer weather, it's a pretty busy little spot.
Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. Cause no matter how far away you roam, if you want to be happy in a million ways, for the holidays you can't be home, sweet home. For the holidays you can't.
For those just turning in, this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and we just heard from Carrie McPartland telling us about the work of the Salvation Army. Her closing statement about the cooperation between the Salvation Army and Raising Readers is a great lead to our next guest. Lisa Reeves is the Executive Director of Raising Readers in Story County, and Jerry Hyde is President of that organization. Welcome to Lisa and Jerry. I imagine that you work on different aspects of the organization, so there's probably some within the Ames Public Library. So Jerry, who is the children's librarian, will probably want to answer them, but Lisa can tell us how RSC reaches out into the community. So I guess please answer whichever questions you would like, but welcome.
Thank you so much for having us. We're really happy to be here, and it was a really great segue from Carrie McPartland from Salvation Army. We wanted to really thank all of our donors. We did a book drive with the downtown businesses to have them donate books for the Salvation Army book giveaway, and we had an extraordinary turnout. We also had a really large donation from Barbara Budd. She works with BAM and the local BAM bookstore, we had some wonderful books donated from her too.
Well, that's terrific. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the purpose of the Raising Readers?
So Raising Readers, our mission is we work with children from 0 to age 8 and nurture healthy parent-child relationships. So we have our Reach Out and Read program provides books to physicians so that they can give out books at well child checkups from birth to age 5. And that's a really wonderful way for physicians to be able to talk with parents about the importance of reading, They are specifically geared for each age group. So we hear oftentimes from parents that it was the perfect book for that child for that age in their development. So that's a wonderful partnership. We celebrated our 20th anniversary this year. And so Raising Readers has been in Story County for quite some time. We also have a small talk program where we go into schools on a normal basis and have volunteers read with students and help work with their pre-literacy skills. And so since the pandemic, then we don't go into schools. We work with the kids via Zoom. We've partnered with ACPC, and then we have students who are at home who are paired with volunteers on a weekly basis, and they read stories together. And again, they work on those pre-literacy skills. We also have the Little Free Libraries. That was expanded by Dan Franklin, who is on our board and in partnership with the Ames Town and Country Kiwanis. So he has been working hard with expanding the Little Free Libraries throughout Story County. And we're really excited about that. The one in front of Salvation Army is one of the newer ones as well. We have the Harrison Barnes Reading Academy, which on a normal basis, in partnership with the Ames Public Library, we have volunteers go and read with kids that are kindergarten through third grade and work on their literacy skills so that they can be reading on grade level once they reach third grade. So since the pandemic hit, that's another program that we switched over to virtual. And we know that the kids in kindergarten and first grade have been most impacted by the pandemic with their school. And so what we have done is we've really focused on kids that are in kindergarten and first grade and created programs specifically for them to work with them on their literacy skills. Harrison Barnes has done a fantastic job of supporting our program, and it's a fantastic success. Last summer, we had over 200 kids in the program. This year, the school year program, just because it's a smaller program during the school year, we have 55 kids in the program this year. So we have extraordinary volunteers that we couldn't do the programming without. And they show up every week and are excited to help the kids with their literacy skills.
Wow, that's really terrific. You got quite a operation there.
We absolutely do.
And was there, what's STARS? I remember reading about that.
That is a new program that we are launching in January. It is a virtual program that was, it's very much like the Small Talk program that we did in partnership with the Ames Public Library and Iowa State. What STARS is it's a virtual program where the parent of 0 to 3 child will go and they will meet with our program coordinator once a week and learn how to incorporate language more into their child's environment, because we know that 80% of the child's brain development happens between 0 and 3. So the more that language that they are hearing in the home and outside of the home, then they are they're building those connections within their brain. So what we're doing is we are working with the parents to just give them little tips on how to incorporate reading and singing and talking with their kids. So STARS stands for Sing, Talk, and Read for Success.
And I'm going to add a little bit onto that because it's one of my little passions that I have for, you know, a lot of things happen from 0 to 3. And this is Jerry from the president of Raising Readers in Story County. And the STARS, that's Sing, Talk, and Read for Success, like Lisa said. And so it's using a software called Lena Start. And it measures the child wears that piece of equipment, and it records, or you know, it is aware of what's happening during the day, whether or not the TV's on or electronics are on, and what the conversations are between the parent and the child or whomever that is in that day's, that child's day, and so then they can see, the parent can see, when the report comes back, how much and what time they were talking with their child, and or having those conversations or reading aloud, or it was nap time. And and it is Iowa State has been a great mover and shaker in that area and has proved quite a bit about how those conversation turns. So talking with your child when they're an infant and when they're 1 year old and 2 year old, they are listening and brains are forming at that time. And we know that from the research that has been being done.
Wow. That's really interesting. Yeah. So you're working a lot with students as well as the faculty there at Iowa State on that program.
It was mostly with Dr. Connie Beecher. She was our contact in the Department of Ed.
We do have a lot of students that volunteer with us. Sure. In all of our other programs. So, and then we also have site supervisors that we employ to help with the Harrison Barnes Reading Academy. They do individualized lesson plans. So yeah, we have a great partnership with Iowa State.
Yeah, I think we've grown lots of good teachers out of the tutoring that they've done in Harrison Barnes and throughout the summer, throughout Story County. It's not just in Ames. We do wonderful tutoring programs out in the county in the different variety of schools. And as a grandmother, a proud grandmother of a graduate of Harrison Barnes, it works. I have some wonderful stories that are read to me that probably would not be as read as smoothly had she not been part of the Raising Readers in Story County Harrison Barnes Academy. So
that's terrific.
I not only am I president of the group and a member of the board, I am also a firm believer in all the wonderful things that Raising Readers does in our county.
Wow. So you guys aren't just a name. So you're in Gilbert Schools and Nevada and United and all the schools of Story County?
Yeah, United is just outside of Boone.
Right.
Unfortunately, they're kind of a school that gets kind of in between places. But yes, Nevada and let's see, Colo. Lisa, you want to help about what schools it is? You know better than I.
On a normal basis, we do go into the Ziering Elementary School and into Nevada Elementary School for Story Pals. And then Nevada also, we have Harrison Barnes Reading Academy after school. And then we have a very strong registration from kids throughout the county. Especially since we've been going virtual and they'll come into the Ames Public Library. On a normal basis, we also have the Harrison Barnes Reading Academy at the Boys and Girls Club also. And then during the summer, we go out into the county more than we do during the school year. So we have a partnership with the Huxley Library And then last summer, we were going to be in at Colo and then in Story City also. But due to the pandemic, then those children registered in the virtual program.
Right.
And I have to say, to also give a high five to Lisa and her staff, because they, like on a, like many of us did on a dime, they switched from assisting in person to online and got that up and running. And so there wasn't a whole lot of downtime for our readers that were in the tutoring program. And that happened because of Lisa and the staff that we have and our wonderful volunteers that learned how to use the computer as well and Zoom.
Right? I'm sure.
So there was lots of learning going on, and but because of the dedication of the staff and Lisa as her being the leader of that dedication, it was very well done.
That's terrific. I'm sure that was a big job to get. Probably some people didn't maybe not even have computers or have Zoom and all sorts.
Or internet
access.
And
so if somebody wanted to volunteer for joining your group to help be a reader or something, how would they go about doing that?
We would love to have them volunteer with us. We do training. So everything that they need it is furnished for them. And so we train you how to do the sessions with the kids. And they can visit our website at www.raising-readers.org. And the registration form is on there for the Harrison Barnes Reading Academy or Story Pals. And we would love to have their help.
Do they have to be in Story County?
No, they don't.
Okay.
And since we're virtual, that's the one thing that we have been able to find, that because of not having to have transportation to go to the different locations, we've been able to have volunteers. Last summer, we had students that went home. So we had volunteers that were working with us that were in different states. They were in Illinois and Colorado. And so that's the one great thing that we've been able to connect more volunteers with the students.
And just a shout out also to the volunteers. We have over 400 volunteers that are helping. And I think, wasn't it 1,400 hours they gave? If I'm reading my little report right. Yeah, so 427 volunteers and 4,480 hours of time that people from our community have helped our community children.
And, wow.
Because it truly takes, it truly takes a village to raise a child.
And, yeah, well, I can't imagine coordinating all that, but kids and parents and readers.
Yeah.
But so if somebody wants to volunteer, I'm thinking there's probably older folks who can't get out that would love to read.
We have volunteers there from 14 to all the way to retirees. So we'd love to have all different ages, because it's a really great opportunity to work with kids on their literacy skills.
And so they would be on Zoom, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so if they can figure that out, that should be. And then they just need a book.
We supply the books, so they share the book. We had a volunteer that was having difficulty with her Zoom wasn't allowing her to share, and so she had a vast supply of children's books, and so she just shared it that way.
Oh, nice, nice. And how about if somebody has kids that would like to get involved?
Absolutely. They can go to our website also, and the registration form is on there. They can also give us a call in the office. Our number is 515-520-8686. And we can talk them through getting to the registration forms.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Jerry and Lisa.
Thank
we
you
sure appreciate
so much
it.
For
thank you for inviting us.
Keep on reading those books, eh?
Right.
Well, thank you so much.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and we've just heard from Lisa Reeves, Executive Director of Raising Readers in Story County, and Jerry Hyde, President. Our next segment is also about reading, Reading Radio. For several months, it has been occupying the noon time slot that used to be a rebroadcast of the morning Local Talk. At the beginning of COVID-19 in March, the Ames Public Library introduced a weekly program called Reading Radio, hosted by two children's librarians, Jerry Hyde, who you just heard from, and Kathy Cooney. I think it deserves a welcome and a little extra publicity from Local Talk. Thank you, Jerry and Kathy, for coming on today to make sure our listeners know about the special program you have been producing.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Well, so happy to have you here with us. Jerry, do you want to begin by telling us how and why you saw the need for this kind of program and just what it is?
So Reading Radio was birthed between Kathy and I because of a need of one that adults needed a venue to hear about some of the books that we have in the library so they can put them on hold and actually pick them up, because due to COVID, that's the only way that you can't browse the shelves like we've been normally doing before COVID. And for the children and the reading of the stories was mostly because not all people have access to the internet connection, nor do they have the devices. And even if they have the devices, they have to have a certain amount of connection to make that it fast enough and that type. So the ways that we were taking care of doing our story time went to Facebook Live and YouTube. And so we wanted to also provide a connection to our readers that didn't have the access to it. So we went with the radio, or, you know, we saw the need to be on someplace that was free for the community and was accessible to everyone in our community, which KHOI is definitely one of those things that, you know, that fits that bill and those criteria.
Well, that's a great reason for Reading Radio. Actually, though, you answered one of my questions I've had from the beginning, which is this going to go away when there isn't COVID anymore? I'm sure it's a huge amount of extra work to do this even once a week. I mean, I know how much work goes into that. And
Well, of course, in my life, it's just like planning another story time. So that was a regular thing. And with my couple years of experience, that isn't a real hard thing for me to do because I have some lots of little reserves in my toolbox of reading. But I'll let Kathy kind of speak to what she does, because she does the, you know, a pretty good chunk of what's happening in that program is what Kathy does as an adult services librarian.
It's definitely an equal partnership. For folks who may not be familiar, generally Jerry does the first half of the show, which involves reading some stories for kids and talking about children's books. And then I do the second half of the show, which generally focuses on adult books, sometimes with some young adult sprinkled in as well. And it's really interesting because when the library was fully open before COVID started, a lot, part of what we would do upstairs is recommend books to people, have those conversations about books, what's good, what should I read if I liked this sort of thing. And so I see Reading Radio as kind of an extension of those conversations, since we can't have them in person, to bring some books to people's attention that they might not have been aware of, or that might help them with one of our reading challenges. A new one started yesterday, by the way, for all ages. And also we have our personalized pick service to help us recommend books to people too. So those things together kind of help us fill that need that we used to do in person.
Yeah, browsing and that interaction with our librarians on the floor was a very important part of all what we did at the library. So when we changed service models, that we had to find other ways to do it.
That's a pretty tall order, and you do a wonderful job. I mean, I would imagine that for radio, I always used to listen to radio when I was in the kitchen a lot. And so I'd be fixing lunch. And so I thought, this is perfect, you know, for that kind of activity. You don't want to sit down and watch a television or, you know, be on a Zoom at that hour. You want to just have it going in the background. And you think, you might have a pencil and paper say, I want to get that title of that book. That sounds good. So I think that would be, that's a wonderful thing to do. And I understand now what your collaboration is too. And I think it's really important to have somebody with adult books combined with a story hour. Because I thought even with the stories, I thought, well, those are such good stories that the adults would like to listen to them too. And so it would be nice if you had the time at that hour to have the child sitting in your lap and listening to the story together. But if you can't, it's still, you wouldn't want to tune it out. You'd want to hear what the story was, and then you could talk about it. And, you know, I think it's just a wonderful program.
I don't know what goes through Kathy's mind when she's doing her portion, but I know what happens in my mind because obviously we have listeners, not viewers, right? And so in my head, I have that child on my lap, or mostly I have the children in front of me, like I would in the story time room. And so I just kind of envision that and hope that, that people are enjoying it as much as, you know, when you're in story time, you get that immediate reaction of enjoyment or, you know, like, what was that all about? You know, that type of thing in that conversation. And that's the interesting aspect about radio, is that you don't have that interaction, that immediate interaction. So Kathy and I have talked about that quite a bit, that like, you know, are people listening?
And I try to give Jerry that feedback, but of course it's not the same as having a 3-year-old in your lap listening to the story. To have me reacting on camera to her. I had someone pull up for curbside the other day who was like, oh, I just heard you on the radio. And that's very satisfying as well.
And we have a lot of fun.
What? Yes, we do.
Who gets to choose the books?
We each choose our own, but we collaborate on the theme. So we have a starting point, so it's not just totally crazy.
Well, that with the exception of today's show, because actually Kathy chose my books for me reading today. So you'll have to tune in this afternoon or this, at lunchtime to find out what shows or what books Kathy enjoys as a comfort through this time.
Yep. Today's show is all about cozy, comforting reads.
Ah, yeah, that's a good topic to cover with this cooler weather and the holidays coming up and people getting all their winter clothing out and that sort of thing.
Yeah, seemed like a good time for it.
Do you ever have trouble getting the same book?
Not yet.
Good. I suppose you only choose ones that you have the same book.
Yeah, we try to, whoever finishes the script first, the other one will look at it, make sure that we're not both talking about, you know, Mary Poppins or something like that. So.
And sometimes if we do that, then we have a wonderful conversation regarding that title and why it's important to the younger one, the younger set as it is the readers out of school.
And do you want to include again what times you're on the radio?
Absolutely. We are on at noon on Wednesdays live, and I believe there's a rebroadcast on Saturday afternoon. You can also listen to it at 5 on Saturday afternoon. And you can also listen to it anytime on KHOI's online archive. And also check out, you know, amespubliclibrary.org for all the other great stuff the library is doing, too.
That's great. Are there a lot of books that kids can check out online, like if they wanted to read books?
Now, oftentimes I am reading one of the books that are available through our online resources or our online program, Libby. And it's very easy to access that with your library card. Once you set that account up, it's very easy to find those children's books because you can make an outline of what you want, you know, and limit it to just children's books and or YA books, or you can look at them all, or audiobooks. So you can find a lot of things in there, a lot of titles.
Well, that's sure great. And all they need is a library card, right?
Right. Which is very easy to do, too, because you can go online at amespubliclibrary.com or amespl.org. Sorry, Kathy usually does that piece of it. And fill out that registration, and then you'll come in, drive up to curbside and show us your driver's license, and we'll get you a library card.
That's awesome. Now, if people happen to live in another county, can they pay a little extra to get a library card, or how does that work, or no access?
Anybody who lives in Iowa can get a library card with Ames Public Library. There's one digital platform that's specific to the county you live in or the city that you live in, but everything else we have you can access as long as you live in the state. And there's no charge for anything unless it gets lost or damaged, which with a digital book, it can't.
Well, thank you so much. I am very appreciative of all that you've told about reading radio, including what time it is. I hope a lot of more people will be able to tune in now. Thank you to Jerry Hyde and Kathy Cooney for telling us about their original program, Reading Radio, which has really helped to bring Ames Public Library into the community when the building had to be closed during COVID-19. Thank you for all you've done to make our days brighter during the months of semi-isolation. I'd like to close our program by introducing you to a newly published author from our community. Her name is Rachel Mance McKinney. To tell us about herself and why she wrote The Butterfly Effect. Thank you.
am Rachel Manns McKenney. I am a local author. I also work at Iowa State University in the departments of English and Public Speaking. And while I've published before, this is my first ever book that I've ever published. And it just came out in early December.
So the title of your book, The Butterfly Effect, sounds like it must be about physics. Explain it and why what that has to do with a book.
Absolutely. So the butterfly effect is a concept that comes from physics, and it talks about how things that happen have outsized consequences. So if a butterfly flaps its wings in South America, maybe we have a tornado in Chicago. So that's kind of part of the theory here. In my book, I don't deal with physics. I deal with entomology, so actual butterflies. And so the science comes more from her study of insects, the main character, Greta. But the reason why the book is called The Butterfly Effect is because she is not a very likable character all the time. And the choices that she makes aren't always the best ones, and they can have pretty major consequences. But ultimately, this is a book about healing and family relationships and how those small movements we can make to try and reconcile a relationship can end up having big impacts as well. So there are some scientific aspects here, but there's also that idea of family relationships.
Well, why did you decide to have a book about butterflies with family relationships?
Yeah, so I wanted to write a book about somebody who studied butterflies, partially because I had spent so much time at Ryman Gardens with my family, and I just got so interested in it that I wondered what it would be like if somebody worked there. So as part of this book, I was able to follow around people who work at Ryman Gardens, as well as do lots of research about insects and entomology and all sorts of things like that, and include that into the book a little bit. So I wanted to write a book that you would read with your book club, but that might teach you a little bit about insects and maybe make you like them just a little bit more by the end of the book, because I think many of us really hate insects.
Well, for those listeners who may not know Ryman Gardens and its butterflies, why don't you describe that a little bit?
Yeah, so Ryman Gardens is attached to Iowa State University, and it has one of the largest butterfly conservatories attached to a university in the country. And inside there are 800 butterflies at any time, usually, who are flapping around, lots of different types. And they don't breed butterflies there, but they do get them in the cocoon stage or the pupa stage. And so you can see them hanging in the emergence windows there and then see them in the wing. And they are just so lovely. It's wonderful to walk around in there. So it was really fun to do that kind of research and be able to visit the exhibits so often to get that feel really down for people who maybe live other places and wouldn't ever get a chance to visit Ryman Gardens.
So do you want to tell anything else about the plot or the characters?
Yeah, absolutely. So the main character is Greta Otto. She's a PhD student, and she's supposed to be studying insects and butterflies in Costa Rica. And she gets a phone call that her brother has had a health incident, and he is pretty much the only family she has left. So she comes home from Costa Rica and steps into the caretaker role and tries to help him get better, sometimes butting heads with his fiance in the process, as well as some other characters. So I really wanted to write a book that talked about family relationships, that talked about the complexities that come with caretaking when you weren't expecting to be a caretaker. So when I was 8 years old, my brother passed away from cancer. And so something I've been thinking about my whole life would be, if he had gotten sick later in my life, would I have been able to step into a role of caretaker, or what would that have been like to be able to actually support him and not just be helpless? So I thought it would be interesting to write about a character who has to make that decision to help him rehabilitate and the challenges that come along with that.
Well, she was studying the butterflies in Costa Rica. And when she came back, did she come back to Ames and go to Ryman Gardens?
So she comes back to Ames, and unfortunately there's not any work in her department for her to do because the semester has already started. And she doesn't exactly have a lot of money because she's a PhD student. So she ends up being able to get a job at Ryman Gardens, where you find out her ex-boyfriend works. So there's a little bit of past relationship drama that also comes into play here. So there's a little bit of romance, but mostly the book is about Greta and her family and those types of things.
Well, publishing a book in 2020 must have its own special problems. What could you do and what couldn't you do?
This is definitely not what I expected my debut year to be like. But while we haven't been able to have a lot of in-person events, I felt so lucky to be able to see my book in the hands of readers across the country. I mean, because of social media, people have been able to show the book all over the world even. It's for sale in Australia and Canada and, you know, the UK. So that's really exciting. But also, I've been able to do some online events, which were really fun. And since I am a mom of young children, I probably wouldn't have been able to go on a traditional book tour anyway. So now I can just put on a nice shirt after the kids go to bed and get to meet with some readers online, which has been really, really special. And I was lucky enough that the Dog-Eared Books in Ames, which is one of the new independent bookstores, was able to host one of my events on Friday last week. So that was a real pleasure to be able to help support some independent bookstores close by.
So since so many books are marketed online, do you have contact with independent bookstores to get your books into them?
I've been able to get in contact with, you know, Beaverdale Books and Dog-Eared Books, and then the bookshop in Boone. Susan there has been really wonderful. I've been able to sign any copy that's come through her doors. So I think she's had a lot of people requesting those. So that's been really wonderful because I really love and support the bookshop in Boone. I think it's just such a wonderful institution.
Well, you are from Boone, is that correct?
I live in Boone now. Yep, I'm originally from Nebraska.
Okay, so your friends can just go down to the bookshop and request an autographed copy, and you'll come in and sign it for them. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And if it doesn't seem like it could get there before Christmas, you can tell Susan, and I will write you guys a letter that you could say, you are getting a book soon for your friend or family member to open up on Christmas if you wanted to buy this as a gift for someone that you think needs a good story, that has a little bit of humor, and lots of Iowa connections. I think you'll recognize a lot of the places I write about in the book.
This is a nice book to welcome the Christmas season and for gifts and to see in 2021.
Yes, let's all hope it's a much, much brighter new year.
Thank you.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, Story City, Ames, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Your hosts for today have been Gina McAndrews and Susan Franzen, with production help from Lynn Carey and Paul Wearson, as well as Mike Murphy. Other voices you heard were Carrie McPartland, Jerry Hyde, Lisa Reeves, Kathy Cooney, and Rachel Mance McKinney. Local Talk was engineered by Michael Murphy. Our theme song was Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. KHOI Community Radio serves Story County, Iowa, as well as parts of seven other counties. Our mission is to build community through grassroots communication. We welcome all voices and celebrate diversity in our community. Please remember that your support is essential if we are to continue broadcasting. If you enjoy the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.